glad you made it here. My name is Luther Beck. Powerhouse is the show you are hearing. Now, I want to tell you that your life is precious. It is essential that you grasp this fact. Your life is precious. You are loved. You do have purpose and meaning and destiny and value. And you really need to know that we need you. We need you to be part of this fight. We need you to be part of the tribe. We need you to be part of the future. So if you've listened so far, this is episode 6. If you've been listening to the other ones we touched on last time, I talked to Jacqueline, my wife, about spiritual health, some spiritual practices that may not work so good, and she got to share a little bit of her story. If you go back to episode 5, you can listen to that. The quote that I mentioned on that episode was from a man named Watchman Nee. This was a very holy, awesome Chinese man from, I want to say, the late 1800s. He wrote a book called The Spiritual Man. And the quote that I used, I forgot to kind of circle back around to. So I'm going to do that today. I'll quote it again. We recognize the regeneration of the spirit is the paramount need of man. The regeneration of the spirit is the paramount need of man. Watchman Nee. So I wanted to talk about regeneration. And that's kind of a cool word. It basically equals, well, renewal, reanimation, resurrection, rebirth, revival, restoration. It's interesting that all the synonyms are R words. But regeneration, it's making something new. And I know this has been a topic that I've been trying to bring out a little bit in the other episodes. Restoring things, starting things again, even resurrection. I want to go back to the story of the Garden of Eden and what happened there. Because if you go back to the beginning, it is easier to talk about this issue of regeneration. What is it that we need to regenerate? What is it that needs to be rebirthed or revived or restored back to its original state? If you're familiar with the Adam and Eve story, you kind of just think about two naked people and a snake slithering up a tree, because that's sort of the Renaissance art flash that you have in your head. Or maybe it's boiled down to that in pictorial representations of the fall of man story. But to sum it up, God made everything good, and he made man in his own image, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the breath of God himself, and man became an animated living soul, a living being. He put him in a garden and told him he could eat of every tree in the garden freely, but one of the trees he should not eat of, for in that day that he eats of it, he will surely die. That was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so we know what happened. Eve was tricked by a serpentine entity. And for a fruit snack, sin came in, disobedience came in, curse came in, death came in, separation from the holy God who created them came in. For she also gave it to her husband, Adam, and he ate it. And then they blame each other when God comes, hey, what did you guys do? They blame each other. There's a judgment that comes, and Because God still loved Adam so much, even though he made this huge mistake in altering the way that the order was supposed to go, where God and man were to have family and fellowship and sharing and peace together, there was a disturbance. And there was a transfer of great proportions. Basically, the devil tricked humans, and humans took the bait. So, loving them, he banished them from the Garden of Eden so that then they could not continue in their state of fallenness, in their state of spiritual separation, in their state of spiritual death, being separated from the one who is in himself life. Yahweh God Almighty, he kicked them out of the garden so they would not take also of the tree of life and live forever in that sinful state. So by his grace, he prevented them from continuing to live in the Garden of Eden and eat from the tree of life and permanently be stuck in this death state. So he said, the day that you eat of it, you will die. And Adam did not die that day. But we're speaking of spiritual death. We're speaking of the fact that, yes, he was created to never die physically, but he was also immediately separated spiritually from God, who is the source of life. Now, the reason I bring this up is because we talk about spiritual health and how can you do spiritual things or connect with God in a way that does not continue to damage your spirit or your soul or your body. But I got to thinking, in this quote, we recognize that regeneration of the spirit is the ultimate need of man. Watchman Nee is talking about the fact that because we are ancestors of Adam, the original man, we have basically inherited the sin code. We have inherited this disease of brokenness and separation of God because of disobedience and sin. Because of the curse that came that day so many years ago, we don't know Adam, we were never there, but we have been producing after our own kind and we are related to the first man. And so, because of the first man's sin, all men perpetually sin. We're just like our great 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 grandfather Adam. I don't want to forget there was a really cool prophecy in that same chapter of Genesis chapter 3. And I won't quote it, but he says that the seed of a woman would come and crush the head of the serpent. We're talking about the prophecy of the snake crusher. The prophecy of the coming one who would be bruised in the process, but he would destroy that wicked deceiver, the serpent. And of course, that's a prophecy about Jesus Christ way, 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 way before we knew that he was going to be bruised for our transgressions in Isaiah chapter 53. But what is this issue of being spiritually dead? It's kind of offensive to a lot of people. What are you trying to say? I'm not alive in my spirit. Well, our human spirit exists, but in the sense that we've been separated from God through sin, through the curse of the fall of man, original sin, if you want to call it that, because of our grandparents Adam and Eve, yes, we are born without our original nature. We now have a new nature that is less than that, which is a sin nature. We're prone to sin. We're born selfish and mean and manipulative and chaotic. Okay, just look at, young children and throwing temper tantrums if they don't get their way. Okay, we are born messed up. I hope no one will argue with me about that. Well, because of this sin, there had to be a snake crusher. There had to be a remedy put forth. And so when we talk about regeneration, we're talking about making things new again. But as we talked about in a couple previous episodes, it's sort of a hamster wheel if you try to do to get back to the divine. It leaves you pretty confused, stressed out, empty, and confused. And so I wanted to go to a couple stories, a couple scriptures. I wanted to try to just sort of take you by the hand and lead you up to this gate that I like to call the wicket gate. The wicket gate is that door that once you're brought up to it and you can see through it, you can see through the keyhole, you can see what's going on a little bit, you can see the rays of sunlight coming through the other side of the door, and then by faith, all you have to do is open the door and walk through it by your own free will. I don't want to force anybody to do anything. I don't want to, hit you over the head with the Bible, but I am here to plead with you to look into these matters. Regeneration, renewal, reanimation, rebirth. It reminds me of an amazing passage in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, you've got a guy named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was actually a religious Pharisee. He was a religious ruler. And I know I gave religion a hard time on a couple episodes ago and said religion's whack. Religion steals the simplicity of faith away from people and puts a taskmaster over them, and gives them all these things that they can never do. And it hurts. It hurts the message of God's love. But there were some of these religious teachers who actually were people of peace. Nicodemus was one of them. And since he didn't want to be seen by his other buddies, the jerk religious Pharisees, he snuck over to Jesus's place at night. And he came to him and he said in John chapter 3, "Rabbi, teacher, we know that you are a teacher who came from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." He's like, "Jesus, you've been healing people, you've been raising people from the dead, okay? You got nasty leper people with their skin hanging off, and you go and touch them, okay? That's not ritually clean in our culture, but it works. Something's up with you." And Jesus answered him, "Most assuredly, Nicodemus, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." So we're back at this issue of the Spirit. Okay, God is not unconcerned about your body, about your physical well-being, about your mind and your thought life. But as we touched on before, the inner man, the innermost part of you is your ruach, your spirit. And so we're touching the issue of the spirit needing to be born again. He said, born of water and the spirit. Unless you are born over again, you cannot come to the eternal kingdom. You cannot be in perfect peace Unless you're born again. And, born again has been thrown around as sort of a negative word because it's associated with maybe different churches that don't represent Christ in the correct way. I don't know. But I sure like the idea of getting a new start. I sure like the idea of regeneration or reviving something that was once dead. And so this brings me back to the original state of man being born after Adam and after all of our great grandparents in a broken state. Unless we are regenerated, then we will stay spiritually dark. Okay, and you might think, well, I don't feel spiritually dark. Well, that's great, but it's not all about feeling. I learned that early on in studying the things of God, is it's not always about feelings. It's about what is and is not real. What is and what is not true. What is and is not ultimate reality. And so Adam sinned, okay? And since he sinned, the wages of sin is death. The penalty for that sin, the judgment on that sin was death. But we hear in Romans, the book of Romans, that the free gift of God is eternal life. Okay, so we inherited a curse from sin, the sin nature of Adam. We just inherited that. Okay, we didn't do anything right or wrong when we were first born. We were just born sinful. We just have to humble ourselves and admit that. Okay? And if you're searching your heart right now, and you're thinking about your life and your lifestyle and your ways, and some of your ways are broken, just hold on. That's okay. That's a humble thing to think about, is your sin nature and how you inherited it from your forefathers and how you would like to find a remedy for that situation. And that's coming. I'm going to mention that man's spirit apart from God is dead. So we talk about spiritual health, but really the spirit needs to be resurrected in a spiritual, supernatural way. Man sinned. And so the only way for man's sin to be wiped away was the penalty of death. So you get why the snake crusher had to be born of the seed of a woman. There had to be the incarnation. There had to be a sinless, holy God to become human flesh and bone. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, Romans 5, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. There's a verse that says, everyone has sinned and fallen short of the righteousness of God. But further on in Romans 5, it says, as by the one man's disobedience, Adam's disobedience, the many were made sinners, that's us, so by the one man's obedience, Jesus's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Are you part of the many who are being made righteous? Are you part of the many who are being made righteous? I pray that you are. I pray that you're not satisfied to stay in the state that you're in, to stay in the inherent messiness that your family line might have. Everybody's got broken families. Everybody's got family issues. Oh, my mom was like that. Her mom was like that. My mom's mom, my dad's mom. We were all like that. We're all just, we all just get really angry and hit people. Okay, well, sounds like the curse of the fall of man that can be broken and should be broken. And that provision has been made, friends. That provision has been made, guys, brothers, sisters. Flip back to the very beginning of the gospel according to John. And he talks about Jesus coming into the world, and he was the light of men. And many people rejected him. But then it says, as many as did receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. They were born of God. Now, this is some supernatural stuff. That's why when he was talking to Nicodemus about it in the middle of the night, Nicodemus was like, what are you trying to say, Jesus? Am I supposed to crawl back up into my mom somehow and be born a second time? This is, you crazy. Okay, but Jesus is like, hey, I'm talking about things like the wind blowing, okay? It's a deeper spiritual matter than just the physical, okay? This is not science class, okay? This is teachings that are beyond space and time. They're teachings that are reaching into our reality from heaven. And Jesus is articulating them the best way that we can understand them. I pray right now, Father, that if somebody's having trouble grasping some of these things, that you would bring light to the truth that's being spoken about right now. Regeneration of the Spirit is a work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? This is not meditation. This is not a bunch of religious things that can accomplish this work. Our part is faith in his work. Our part is faith in the work of the Spirit to regenerate our spirit. Okay, the Holy Spirit renews your spirit and unites you back to God, just as if the curse had never happened from Adam and Eve in the beginning, when sin came in. Okay, sin gets abolished through Jesus' death on the cross. Only way I can try to describe this in a short amount of time is to read Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 3, says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So as deep as this concept is, I pray that you grasp the piece that you need to grasp for right now. Okay, there was a great travesty that happened. And a great miraculous rescue mission that also happened. So we can rest. We can be confident. We can rest from all of our anxious works to try to make things better. We can realize that God made Jesus, who was not sinful, to become the penalty of sin on that cross, so that we could become righteous, so that we could be regenerated. Okay, all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short. All of us miss the mark. But his hands and his feet and his forehead and his side and his heart were all pierced by men for man's sins on a place called Golgotha. Golgotha was the hill that he had to hike up, that he was crucified on top of, this place called the place of a skull. So as hard as it is for us to grasp things like death, spiritual death, what's the difference, curse, blessing, just hear me out, okay? The good news, the gospel is that as broken and messed up as we are, born into sin, born selfish, born prideful, born rebellious, Jesus was wounded so that we could be healed. Jesus was punished on that cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins. He was made sin with our sinfulness. So all the sin was basically transferred, all the sin of the world was laid on him as that sacrificial offering to judge sin, because it deserves death, guys. Okay? What Hitler, Adolf Hitler, did deserves death. It deserves punishment. It's wicked. It's hateful. It's evil. So many other atrocities that are going on. You want justice, don't you? Or do you want them to get off the hook? Okay? Well, the only way you can get on the hook, off the hook, is to believe in the one who took the punishment, which is God himself. It's the ultimate act of love. It's the ultimate act of mercy. It's the ultimate act of self-sacrifice. Okay? He died so that we could have life. He was made a curse so that we could be blessed. He was made poor so that we could be rich. He was made shameful so that we could be glorified. And he was rejected so that we could be accepted. Guys, I don't want to apologize for preaching, because if I never go this deep on the show again, at least I'll know I said it. At least I'll have known that I talked about the snake crusher, the one who came to crush evil, the one who is ultimately the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And here's the great part: he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead 3 days later, just like he said, just like all the old prophets, hundreds of years before he ever came on the scene, prophesied that he would raise on the third day. And now he's the high priest, and he's sitting in heaven, and he's making intercession for you. He's praying for you. He's praying that you will believe in him. And just like Jesus said to Nicodemus, that you will be born of water and the Spirit. Romans 6 said, if we went into the water of baptism, we died with him on that cross spiritually. And all of the suffering that he suffered on our behalf is transferred to our account, and our slate is wiped clean in the moment that we accept him by faith. Our slate is wiped clean. Everything you've done in the past, every wicked, hurtful, sinful thing that's been done to you, you can forgive now, because you've been forgiven for the things that you did to others. You can be set free from sin, folks. You don't have to be a slave to sin. You don't have to be a slave to those habits anymore. I'm free, okay? I still get tempted, but I have power now over sin. And I'm not afraid of death, because man was never meant to die in the very beginning. And I have been regenerated back to that original state, that original spirit nature that God breathed into me at regeneration, at the work of the Holy Spirit. Because it is a work of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do this on our own. The Holy Spirit might be tapping you on the shoulder right now. If you feel, well, a deep pull or a deep grieving maybe in your soul or in your heart, that could be the grief over your sinful awareness now. Maybe you've become aware, because of the teaching of God's word, that you have been born separated from God. And that's nothing to be ashamed of. We all were. We all were. Okay? If you're a human being, then you were born a sinner, and you need to be born again. That's the gospel, guys. The gospel is that one day we will be able to eat from the tree of life when Yeshua, Jesus, comes back to rescue us from, well, the total summation of suffering in human history, which it's building up to now. So that's why I'm saying this. I'm issuing a plea to you. Look into these things. Look into the deadness of the spirit and ask God to come and make you brand new. I want to read some lyrics from a song by Dalton and Anna Thomas. The song is called The Blood and the Barley, but the very end is maybe the bridge. And I just want to read these lyrics. It says, "For my shame, you give me romance. For my dirge, you give me the wedding dance. For my rags, you give me riches. For my scars, you give me kisses. For my filth, you give me treasure. For my pain, you give me pleasure. For me, you give me you. For me, you give me you." And that's the great exchange. The great exchange is for all the stuff that we're holding on to so tightly with our little fists that really isn't helping us. If we would just humble ourselves and let those tight little fists open up and just drop it to the ground. Whatever it is we're holding on to that's keeping us from intimacy with God, it's keeping us from coming to Him and jumping into His warm, welcoming, forgiving embrace. If we would do that, we would exchange those things that we're holding on to, those sinful things that we like so much, that we think we want, that we think we need, that we think are part of our identity. And then He would give us everything that He has instead. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, the fruit of the Spirit. Agape love, unselfish, eternal love, eternal life. You know, after he gets done talking to Nicodemus about some of these very spiritual matters, he says, "Nicodemus, you're a teacher, you're a spiritual religious leader, and you don't understand these simple things that I'm trying to explain to you." He said, "It's like the wind. The wind blows where it wishes, and no one knows where it's coming from or where it's going. And that's the way it is with people who are born of the Spirit." He goes on to say that whoever believes in me will have eternal life. Because God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. And whoever believes in him will not die but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Guys, don't be part of that company. Don't be part of the people who hear this message and choose, you know, it's not for me. I really kind of like drinking and smoking. Is that really worth it? Is loving the darkness rather than the light really worth forfeiting your eternal destiny? I would say go ahead and simplify things down to this. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. So people say, "Well, you're condemning me. You're condemning me." I'm not condemning anybody. I'm simply repeating the supernatural work of God, explaining that it is a supernatural work that must be done in the place of the Spirit by the Great Spirit Himself, working on us, helping draw us back to that sweet place where we came from, in the Garden of Eden, in peace and harmony and love with our Father, our Creator, the originator of all things, the Eternal One. He wants us to be there with Him. I'm there with Him right now. And when He comes back, He is going to revolutionize the entire earth. And I'm going to be on His side. I'm not going to be the one who loved darkness rather than the light. Now, don't get me wrong, there is an allure of darkness. Okay, I'm not saying that it's not tempting. I'm not saying that darkness doesn't have an attractive side to it. Of course it does. Of course it does. The fruit snack that Eve tasted in the Garden of Eden that she was not supposed to taste. Hey, it looked good. It looked like it was going to give her secret knowledge and wisdom, and it looked yummy. But for a stupid fruit snack, look at what has happened to the created order. Look at us warring against each other, blowing each other up, child sex trafficking. Are you kidding me? Over a fruit snack, over one act of disobedience. But remember when I read that verse, because of one man who was perfect and sinless and obedient, even to death on a cross. All of us can be made righteous. All of us can start over. All of us can have newness of life. So, amen, amen. Please call me and pray with me. Email me, and if you want to pray, I'm ready. I'm ready to get business done, but you don't need me. You can sit in the quietness of your own room, in the quietness of your own heart, in the stillness of wherever you can find time, and you can cry out to God. You can say, I believe in the name of Jesus. I don't get it. I don't understand all the theology. I don't understand half of what Luther was talking about resurrection from the dead. But I need it. I feel that you're calling me, Holy Spirit, and I want you. I want you to wash away all of my sins. I want you to give me the ability to forgive and to give love and receive love. And I want to be accepted. I want to trade my rejection for acceptance in your holy family. And I also want to live forever with you. And that's a simple prayer that could start you on a trajectory that could completely revolutionize every minute of your life. I'm bringing you to the gate. I'm bringing you to the wicket gate. And that wicket gate is the man Jesus, who rose from the dead and will never die again. And if you open that door and go through, you're safe. You can be with him forever. Love you guys. Remember, you're a loved one. And you are loved with an agape love, which I'll talk about on another episode. For now, peace be with you.